Good morning. Good morning. So good to see everyone gathered together for our worship service. Always exciting to see the church family come together for a time of praise and worship. If you're a guest with us, we are excited that you are here this morning together. We have guest cards that are located right in front of you. If it's your first time visiting, or if you have visited before and have never filled one out, we would love for you to. If you could just place it in the offering plate when it comes around, we'll take care of everything else today. So, again, welcome to the worship service. A few announcements that we have this morning to make sure we're all on the same page about a few things before we begin to worship. Remember, the Baptist men are collecting all non-perishable food and any clothing of any age in the room at the end of the newer building. So if you can go down there and place anything in there, it will be sorted. Boxes are needed as well. That collection will continue until they leave. Also, there was a great turnout yesterday for everyone involved with the work here at the church, as well as several other homes for our James 127 day. So a big thank you to everyone that made that possible. It takes many hands to make the work light. That was a lot to do. And also, please be in prayer for our youth. I did want to draw special attention to this Wednesday at 7 a.m. I'll be at the high school with the youth for See You at the Pole, a time for all the youth, whether middle school or high school, to come together and spend time in prayer that morning with all the other Christians that want to come and let the school know they're praying for God to be seen at work in their lives. And I know it's a little earlier for them, so pray for their energy and excitement for that time together. Are there any other announcements we have before we begin our time of worship this morning? Hearing none, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we come before you. We know we are in your presence right now, Lord. We are so thankful to be gathered together, Lord. We are so thankful for the opportunity, the blessing it is to worship you, to sing praises to your name, Lord, to be built up from your wisdom through your word. God, bless us with an open heart and an open mind this morning. Let this time be used of corporate worship together, Lord, to love one another and to love you as you love us. And God, prepare us for the week that is ahead. There are so many things before us. We don't want to be distracted by the things on a calendar, Lord. We want to be excited about the opportunities to serve you and live for your Son. Show us how to do that very clearly, Lord. We love you and we praise your name. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for worship this morning.
Mighty is your name, Mighty is your name, O Lord. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. There's nothing has the power to save but your name. You alone are great, you alone are great. Mighty is your name in all the earth. Oh, you alone are great. Mighty is your name, 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 O Lord. Mighty is your name, O
Thank you for the Lord. Let the nations sing it loud, because nothing has the power to save. Let's turn our hymnal to page 425 and sing joyfully. There's a melody in my heart, and it fills my every longing. Let's all stand. First, second, and last verses.
So good to see you always when we're down here. I love every time, I can't say it enough, seeing you with your worship bags, coming down here, holding the hymnals. It's so great to see you in worship this morning. And when we have our time together to share what God's talking to us about in the Bible, that's always special. And you know, I usually like to start off with a question, but this time I have several small questions after a couple short stories. So if you can listen to me tell a short story, I have a question at the end right afterwards. And this morning we're talking about honesty, so I'm going to tell you three short stories, okay? The first one, there's a boy named James, and James is riding with his mother to the store, the grocery store. And his mother lets James out right in front and gives him $2 to go get a loaf of bread they need really quick, all right? So he's a little bit older. He goes and he buys a loaf of bread with the $2, and when the cashier gives him the money back, she gives him an extra $20 by mistake. Now he realizes he shouldn't have that much money, so what do you think James should do? What do you think? Give the extra $20 back? I agree. Now, what would you all do? If you had a cashier or somebody hands you more money than you should, what would you do? Would you do the same thing and give it back? Hopefully. Now, there's a little girl named Natalie. Think about this. And she's in the lunch line at school. Okay, and she sees the person in front of her in the lunch line drop $5 out of her pocket there. She didn't know that she dropped it. And Natalie picks up the $5. What do you think Natalie should do with the $5 she picked up? Yeah. She should give it back. What would y'all do? Y'all would give it back? Good. These are good. I'm glad y'all are saying that. Very good. Now, the last one's about a boy named Hector, okay? And he's coming out of a church service very much like this one. And outside the church service, we're not really sure how, but he finds a money bag like this one, where they put some of the offerings in there. And he found inside over $100. And so he's outside, and he realizes that nobody else is really around except his family. And he finds $100. Think about all the things you could do with $100, right? Now, what do you think Hector should do with the money bag? Should give it back to the church? Good. Good. Now, what would you do if you found it? Give it back again? Perfect. Okay, good. I'm glad y'all are saying that. I'm glad. I know it's hard to think about because sometimes that's a lot of money. The whole point isn't about the money, though. The point is about being honest. And Jesus teaches us something that I want us to listen to extra close, okay? It's found in Luke chapter 16. It's one verse. So listen to what he says very carefully, okay? Because it has a lot of meaning behind it. He says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." What Jesus is saying here is if we can be trusted and honest with small things like $1, we can be trusted with even more, right? But if we're going to be dishonest with small things, that means we'd be dishonest with big things too. So Jesus wants to teach us how to be honest and trustworthy with small things so we can do big things for Jesus in the future, okay? So let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for teaching us. Thank you for your son telling us that he wants to teach us how to be honest so he can always work through us in big ways. Lord, we pray that in your son's name. Amen. It's good to see y'all this morning. I'll see y'all next week, okay?
As our children are moving back and heading to children's church, let me invite you to open your bulletin. And as you do, in the bottom right-hand side, you'll see our prayer concerns and prayer list. I'd like to share some information. Tony Reagan, who had bypass surgery this past week, we hope will be coming home tomorrow. Tony has moved through the step-down process and is doing well. We want to continue to keep him in our prayers. Mr. Ed Sloan was moved the end of this week to the rehab on Farrell Road, Sanford Rehab. We want to continue to remember Ed in our prayers. And I just want to thank you for the prayers for Rebecca. Our plans are right now that she will be going tomorrow to a group home in Four Oaks. And so I would ask you to keep her in your prayers as you have, and thank you for that. And then I did hear talking with Jimmy just a few moments ago, who's having some vertigo issues, that Ernestine Bridges will be undergoing cataract surgery tomorrow. We want to keep her in our prayers. One person that has been on our prayer list off and on, and I want to add now, the family of Mr. Brian Sibbett passed away. Ariel is a part of our church family. We want to continue to remember her and the loss of her father. This has been a very difficult battle. We want to keep this family in our prayers in a very special way. I don't know any of the arrangements at this time, but we do want to keep them in our prayers. You'll see this list, and certainly it is not exhausted, and it is an opportunity for us to add even other names as the Lord would lead us. May I invite you to pray with me? God, we are in your presence. And although it would sound strange, we pray you might make us honestly in your presence today. That we might hear what you have to say to us. We might listen, Lord, with ears that are not filtered by all the things that we sometimes listen through. Like our own self-will, our own self-nature, and our own self-centeredness. That we might hear, O God, what you would say to us and then respond. Respond in a way that would be pleasing unto you, for Lord, when we please you, that's when we're really happy in our own life. We want to lift the names that we have mentioned, the needs that are on this list, and the needs that are on our heart to you, O God. And then, God, we honestly want to commit to pray this week and to be your hands and your feet, your love and your compassion to these. God, would you speak to us as we continue to lift your name above every name, that we might be faithful with those few things you've entrusted us with, that you may indeed trust us with more. In Christ's name we pray.
cross for each and every one of us. Must Jesus not bear the cross by himself, but let us help carry the cross. Page 494, take up your cross, the Savior said, if you would be my disciple. Let's all stand.
Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks for all the many, many blessings that You have done for us and given to us. Please guide, lead, and direct us this week. Be with those in need. We pray that You accept and bless these tithes and offerings to further Thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, eternity, and for the Lord. Music blesses us each Sunday, and I appreciate the hard work that goes into that. Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I appreciate Matt filling in for me last Sunday. I appreciate the opportunity to be with the wonderful folks at Rocky River and share revival time with them. And it's good to be back at Flat Springs this morning. We have been talking about love. And that's a good thing to be talking about. Love. We have by now discovered that it's not a feeling. Although, in our society, we have reduced love to a feeling. We talk about being in love, which also means you can be out of love very easily. To be in love is a feeling we all love and enjoy, but being out of love. And oftentimes when I talk to people about their relationships, it often begins with a word somewhere about, well, if I'm going to be honest, if I'm going to be honest with you, well, let's see what our text has to say about that. It's a short verse, but powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read verse 6. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. We're speaking of love, and it says, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. May God add His blessing to the reading and grant us understanding of His most holy Word. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we worship today, may we do so honestly. For Lord, I have sat in worship services and deceived myself and been dishonest, God, with you. Today, help us to be fully and completely rejoicing in all the truth, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What if everyone knew everything you ever said about them? Especially what you said about them to someone besides them. I heard a story about a little boy that after church one Sunday walked up to his pastor and handed him a quarter. The little boy, the pastor was a little bit taken back, and he said, well, thank you, son. But I'm curious why you gave me a quarter. He said, because of what mom and dad said. Said, oh, what did mom and dad say? They said you were the poorest preacher they knew about. And so I just wanted to help. I'd rather have dollar bills at the back door, but I'll take quarters if that's what you got. Honesty. That's a characteristic we expect from other people. Think about it. Would you like to knowingly know that someone was going to enter any kind of relationship with you dishonestly? You just knew it. They just told you up front, I want to be in a relationship with you, but I'm going to lie to you every chance I get. I'm not going to, I might tell you something, but you can't count on it. And you can't hold me accountable either. Is that the kind of relationship you'd like to be in? It is a quality that both non-believers and believers respect. How many times does it even sometimes make the news when, kind of the story that Matt was telling, when someone finds a large sum of money that would have been easy to keep, but they give it back. And we respect that. Today, as we think of love, we've been told what love wasn't. We've been told there are qualities of love. And now we're told that love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, and it's honest. I want us to look at three areas and ask ourselves honestly, how are we doing in those three areas? The first one is honest in our own will. Honest in our own understanding. I could use the word soul, in our spirit, in that place where we think and where emotions live and where we operate. That core place in our life. You know the place I'm speaking of? In our will, because this is where we're honest with God. In that core. You see, you see the outside of me, and as far as you know, all is right in the house. Because you don't know the core. There are some things even my wife doesn't know. Because they're deep in the core. But God knows. God knows it all. It is a foolish man who sets out to deceive God. Sometimes I'm a foolish man. Sometimes I think my rationale, my understanding, my situation, my condition is more important than God. Our will is that part that I believe when in Genesis God created man and he breathed. The Hebrew word is the word ruah. It's the word for breath. It's the word for wind. It's the word for spirit in Hebrew. When he breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. That part. That sometimes can grow angry when the outside doesn't show anger. That sometimes can be deceptive to me. And I think I'm deceiving God. I like how Adam and Eve, when their sin came before them, their first response was to hide from God. Sometimes I hide from God. Sometimes I hide my motives from God. Sometimes I hide my thoughts from God. Sometimes I hide those inner desires that I have not given over to God. Let me remind you of a statement I made a moment or two ago. Foolish is the man who thinks he can deceive God. You know what? I think each of us could leave this building today with a closer walk with our God, a closer walk with our living God, if we would simply say, God, this week, I'll not try to deceive you. I'll not try to trump your will with mine. I'll not try to override what you think with what I think. You can't honestly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul with just a few moments a day or a few moments a week. Someone has asked, what if a surgeon who was going to do a very important operation on you, someone has said the difference between major surgery and minor surgery? Minor's when it's on you. Major's when it's on me. That's major surgery. The surgeon that was going to operate on you were to come in and just before the anesthesia said, you know, I've studied as hard as you've prayed. I've studied my task to be a surgeon as much as you've studied God's will to be a Christian. I wonder if some of us might say, time out. Time out, doc. Time out. Wait a minute, doc. I hoped you had studied a little more. I hope you had put a little more time and understanding into what you were doing. You see, that's where I deceive myself. I say all is right on the farm when I know all is not right on the farm. I know that I haven't been loving the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul. The old great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, saints not only desire to love and speak the truth with their lips, but they seek to be true within. They will not lie even in the closet of their hearts. I love that statement. They will not lie even in the closet of their hearts, for God is there to listen. They scorn double meaning. You ever had double meaning? Try to talk yourself in or out of something. Evasion. Well, I will, but just not today. Equivocations. I'll try to compare it to something else. White lies. Everybody tells them. Flatteries and deception. He's so right. Honest in will. I was looking this week and I began to think of something I've always been fascinated with. How many of you know what snake oil is? You ever heard of the medicine shows? You know when they would travel? You know how they travel now? Over the internet and over cable TV. Have you noticed that? How many of you ever seen an infomercial? You know? It was interesting. I looked up and I read this statement. It said, they're most commonly associated with miracles, sometimes referred to snake oil, which... it was a claim that had the ability to cure any disease, smooth wrinkles, remove stains, prolong life, and cure any number of common ailments. Could make you smell better, think better, and look better. And folks were buying it then, and folks are buying it now. And if I'm not careful spiritually, in my will, when I'm just a little bit dishonest with God, I will tell myself all is well with my soul when I know there's a sin that I need to deal with. I know there's a change in my life I need to make. I know there's an attitude that is not godly. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 reminds us that we don't fool God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He's not made fun of. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh in deception will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. And I love verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Are we being honest when we say, you are Lord of my life, O God? Oh, don't just gloss over that. Listen to it again. Hear it not only with the ears that are on the side of your head, but he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Are we honest when we say, Jesus, you are Lord? I wished I could tell you. But what I have to battle, I don't know about you, but what I have to battle, where I struggle, is too often, even before I even realize it myself, my words are more truly correct when I say, Gary is Lord of his life. Gary's Lord. Gary's Lord. Gary runs this ship.
Gary's got this under control. Gary knows what he needs to do. Gary knows how his time is to be used. Gary is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not only would He be honest in our will, but also honest in our words. The first was where we're honest with God in our will. But our words. This is where we're honest with each other. This is where we've got to be honest with you and me, to one to another. There are times it's not easy to be honest. Those are hard. I read a book or an excerpt from a book by Macmillan called None of Those Diseases. It tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college, and her heart sank because on the application there was one statement that asked this question, "Are you a leader? Are you a leader?" Well, what do you think they wanted to hear on a college entrance exam? They wanted to hear what? "Yes, I'm a leader." But she was an honest woman. And so she wrote, "No, I'm not a leader. Just not a leader." And she assumed the worst. She figured she had just wasted that deposit that you send with that application. But to her surprise, she received a letter from the college. It said, "Dear applicant, a study of the application form reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative they have at least one follower." You know? Honest. Even when you're not sure how it's going to work out. Now, I got to put a footnote here. You can be honest and not be cruel. Some people take honesty as a club and beat other people over the head with it. And that's not at all. That's not love. I can tell when you offer me even words I don't want to hear, and I know you love me. This is about love after all. Jesus reminds us that our statements are to be simple and straightforward. In Matthew 5:37, if you reel back and read from about 34 on, that they were dealing with oaths in that day, and we do the same thing. How many of you ever heard about fine print in a document? You ever heard about that? Well, in Jesus' day, they would take oaths, but if you took an oath, say, on Israel, that wasn't as binding as Jerusalem. And an oath on Jerusalem wasn't as binding as one on the steps of the temple. And the one on the steps of the temple wasn't as binding an oath. They had some turning room. They had some loopholes, didn't they? And when Jesus was talking about all, he said, "Don't swear on your head, don't swear here." And then he said this in verse 37, Matthew 5, that great teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. "Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more comes from the evil one." Anything else comes from the evil one. Honest love always has the other person in mind, even when the words are hard to hear. It always has love as a goal and love as a desire, and love is what we want to share. Oh, it's not always easy sharing hard news, is it? Well, let me give you a story about a lady who was traveled way over to Europe. And she was about to fly home, and she was making, this was back before the cell phone days, you know, and she was making that one call before she came back. And she said, "Well, the first thing I want to know, how's everything?" "Oh, everything's okay, I guess," her husband said. "So, well, how's the cat?" He said, "Dead. Cat's dead." She said, Oh, honey, don't be so honest. Why didn't you break the news to me slowly? You could have said, "Well, you know, when I first called," you could have said, "Well, it's on the roof." And then I'm going to call you again on my way back when I get to Paris. And you could have said, he's acting pretty sluggish. And then when I called you from London, you could have said, he's pretty sick. I'm just not sure. And then when I called you from New York, you could have said, I'm taking him to the vet. And then when I got home, you could have just very gently said, he just didn't make it. He said, okay. Not a man of many words. He said, I'll do better next time. He said, oh, okay, well, how's Mom? Don't get ahead of me. And there was a long silence. And then he replied, she's on the roof? Sometimes it's not easy to break news to people, is it? Sometimes it's not hard to confront someone about something in their life that is not right. But our text says, love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices in the truth. To love someone is to be honest with them. We've all started those sentences, to be honest with you, to tell you the truth. That should be our normality. As we come to conclusion this morning, the third and final area, not only is our will and our words important, but also our work. James 2:18 says, so also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. In verse 18 he says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. You show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Honest in what we do. Honest in our work. This is where we're finally honest with ourselves. You see, in that will, we were trying to deceive God. In our words, we're trying to deceive others. But what we do, how we invest every moment of every day, that's when, if we're not careful, we can be dishonest with ourselves. Honest love for self is demonstrated by our actions. We all want someone to follow that adage, an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. If you hire someone to come and work at your house or work at your business, you want them to give you what is due. We all expect that honesty in others. I was talking with Bill Beauvais yesterday at the meeting, and he had gone to his mechanic to have some work done, and when he got home, he realized that the bill wasn't right. They had charged him too little. Could have used his story with our children. Several hundred dollars, actually. He called, and the lady pulled out the invoice. You ever told somebody something's wrong, and they immediately become defensive until you tell them you think you owe them money, and then, oh, well, let me look at that then. That's just our nature, isn't it? And she looked and found that there were some parts she had left off the invoice. And I love what Bill said. She said, well, thank you for being honest. And Bill hit exactly what I was going to say in the sermon today. He said to her, you know, I expect you to be honest. In fact, I demand you to be honest in working on my car. You should expect me to be honest, too. It doesn't really take a brain surgery. I thought it was great that our children answered all the questions correctly. They know. They know right from wrong. God put that in that core, that ruah we talked about a moment ago. Honest in our work. I'm going to ask a question that is a complicated question, but one we would spend good time. It would be a good investment of our time to deal with it for just a moment. I wonder if we're giving God our best. I'm going to be honest with you. How you like that? I'm going to be honest with you. I have told people before, well, I did the best I could. You ever said that? I did the best I could. I didn't do the best I could. I may have done pretty good. I may have given an honest effort, but I didn't give it everything. I didn't do all I could do. I didn't do that. Are we giving God our best? Love is honest. It loves truth. Doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. Even when I do wrong to Gary, myself. And when I understand that when my will is honest, I'm right with God. When my words are honest, I'm right with others. And when my actions, my deeds, my work, if you will, is honest, I'm right with myself. Love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices in the truth. In just a moment, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And for a moment, may our spiritual eyes see God. And let's speak to Him. Would you pray with me? God, to be honest with you, God, to tell you the truth, oh God, you who seek righteousness in the inmost parts, hear us as now we bow our heads before you, reminded that love is truth, that love is honest. May we look at how we speak to you, at how we speak to others, and how we speak to ourselves. And may we, with your love, your life-changing love, be as honest as we can. Forgive us for our deception. Create in us a clean heart. And may we leave this place. May we leave this place. In honesty. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, I sometimes think I'm about to offer an invitation, and who in the world can come to this one, right? Who can walk down to a sermon on honesty and say, I need to make some choice? But if we were being honest, who can sit in their seat? Who could sit in their seat if the Spirit of God is moving in our midst? An opportunity lies before us. And my guess is it'll be done at the pew more than publicly, but we will offer the invitation to honestly speak to God, to honestly share with God. Oh God. You who love truth and honesty in the inward parts. Isn't it wonderful that right now every one of us can leave this building today with a clean heart? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? That every one of us can leave today totally forgiven of every sin, no matter what the sin. That every one of us can leave today in the power and the forgiveness of a loving God. My prayer, my hope, is that each of us will. If God is speaking to our hearts, our hymn is page 498, Oh God, we ask for strength. And when God is speaking through that song, through this message, through this worship, may each of us respond to Him as He leads us, and we'll leave this place as He would. Would you stand together as we sing? Thank you. I do hope that you will have a wonderful week. There are much going on in the church life. I hope you've read the bulletin and be involved. I am going to be going this evening to First Baptist Church, Ashboro, to share in the retirement of the gentleman that did my wedding about 6-7 years ago when I got married. Y'all remember that one? Y'all were all here, I think. Brother John Rogers, who has been the pastor at First Baptist Church, Ashboro, and was at Buies Creek when I was a student at Campbell, and just a very, very dear friend of mine. And he is retiring. He is retiring from First Baptist after 25 years. So I pray that you will have a good week. I pray you pray for Becky in a very special way as we transition, especially tomorrow. First, pray that we will transition tomorrow. That doesn't always go as they sometimes wish it would. But do pray for her as she adjusts, and that God might use that in a very powerful way to facilitate whatever in her life he needs to do. I would so covet and appreciate those prayers. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be his honest people in the midst of all his people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us, that we might share the good news with those who need the good news of your love, of your power to forgive, to restore, and to give eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.